Everybody listen up. Here we're shooting another scene of action frames. Now get to your positions. Lightings?
Ready!
Cameras?
Clear!
Figurants?
Clear!
Okay, 3, 2, 1, action!
We were born with extraordinary powers, abilities, the next stage in human evolution. But is the future truly set? Or can we change our fate?
We need your help, Charles. Use your power. Bring the X-Men together. You sure about this? Absolutely not.
Hello, passengers. Welcome to our taxi.
Wait, dude. You haven't slept well last night, huh?
No, I was just having a drink with Magneto all night long.
Okay, that's enough. Let's get down to business.
All right. Hello, my dear audience. Welcome to our first section, Info Express. Here are your old friends, Sean and Vion. Attention, I am Sean.
And I'm Vion.
Today we shall talk about three new films, two of which will have been already on theater when our program is put up. And one of them is The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 1, which may be one kind of adventure or sci-fi.
Yeah, it was directed by Francis Lawrence and acted by Jennifer Lawrence, Josh Hutcherson, and Liam Hemsworth. And in the film, after Katniss Everdeen shattered the games forever, Katniss must fight against all odds and save a nation moved by her courage.
Wow, that's so amazing. But perhaps not many people have played the game, The Hunger Games. In the meanwhile, I think, every person must have known the Ninja Turtles.
Oh gosh, that was amazing!
Of course it was, and it is now for the recently filmed Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It does fit for today. Mutant is unsurprisingly everywhere, whether X-Men or the Ninja Turtles, and Noah Fisher and Jeremy Howard. And they four were acted by Pete Polzek, Alan Richardson, Noah Fisher, and Jeremy Howard.
Oh dear!
And Megan Stannis Fox.
Oh my goddess, that's amazing!
Can you exchange a word? All the same is a bit, you know, low.
Terrific, fantastic, gorgeous.
Alright, I'm drunk, just kidding. And this is the first real main film of this sort, and there are lots of great points in it. And what's fun, on the press conference of the film, Bai Ke, a main actor in Wan Wan Mei Xiang Dao, has done many funny things to make Megan laugh.
That made me silent. You can go on, I need some time.
Everybody calm down.
Don't use the funny point of last time. And for here, there's a great upcoming film, Fury.
I know that.
I know you know that, but let me finish my introduce, please.
Fine.
It is a film about the Second World War, which directed by David Ayer and acted by Brad Pitt, Shia LaBeouf, Logan Lerman, and Michael Pena. It tells a story in 1945, the end of the Second World War. Some soldiers...
Oh my dear audience, how time flies.
Wait, let me...
I'm sorry that I cannot say more about that, please.
Alright. Our Info Express is getting end. Shortly later, you'll enjoy our storyboard.
And if you were just about to see a film and haven't decided exactly which bit, please consider the three we just mentioned above. See you!
Every time I try to tell you, the
words just came out wrong. Are you tired of a long day's work? Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Hi, my dear audience. This is Charles with you.
And this is Chloe. We too will guarantee you a fantastic time for today's storyboard.
The Jungle Unchained is still very much alive in my mind. But now, let's move on to the world-famous sci-fi, adventure, and action movie X-Men, Days of Future Past. The X-Men are back and looking better than ever. in 3D and IMAX, of course, with a mind-stretching yet eternally entertaining tale.
As familiar as countless other superhero films, this time travel movie tells us a mankind-saving story. It is in 2023, when most mutants and humans have been mercilessly destroyed by an overwhelming force of killer robots known as Sentinels. During a tough and possibly the last war against Sentinels, X-Men realize that the history must be changed to save our planet from such a horrible future.
The origin of these machines, Sentinels, dates back to 1973, when they were foolishly devised by the film's primary villain, Dr. Bolivar Trask, a powerful mutant smashing leader and card-carrying member of the military-industrial complex, as excellently played by Peter Dinklage, aka Tyrion Lannister in HBO's Game of Thrones.
She hunted Trask across the world, and the Paris Peace Accords in 1973 after the Vietnam War, she found Trask and killed him. It was the first time she killed him.
Wasn't her last.
But killing Trask did not have the outcome she expected. It only persuaded the government of the need for his program. They captured her that day, tortured her, experimented on her. In her DNA, they discovered the secrets to her powers of transformation. It gave them the key they needed to create weapons that could adapt to any mutant power. And in less than 50 years, the machines that have destroyed so many of our kind were created.
Since the turning point in Earth's timetable to its current bleak future began with Trask's assassination by Mystique, acted by Jennifer Lawrence, the murder attempt at the Paris peace talks ending the Vietnam War will actually be done by renegade body shifter Raven, the Mystique, totally unaware of the catastrophic consequence she will be doing to the future.
So, that's the setup. Then the fun and action-packed adventure begins. As we know from the previous films in the current X-Men iteration released through 20th Century Fox, beginning with 2000's X-Men and following with various sequels and spin-offs, the Good Mutants are led by the wheelchair-bound Professor Charles Xavier, starring Patrick Stewart, battling the baddies led by friend turned nemesis Magneto, aka Eric Lensher, starring Ian McKellen. But we also know from X-Men the First Class, which was set 10 years earlier than Days of Future Past Present, that those two characters, in their earlier lives, are portrayed by James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender.
Charles. Good to see you too, old friend. And Walker.
No thanks to you.
You're the last person in the world I expected to see today.
Believe me, I wouldn't be here if I didn't have to. If we get you out of here, we do it my way. No killing.
No helmet. I couldn't disobey you even if I wanted.
I'm never getting inside of that head again. I need your word, Eric.
We get all of them together in this film, which is one of the most fascinating attractions of this film, although not at the same time. Anyway, the older gang leaders are now old friends battling those nasty self-evolving and unbeatable Sentinels, which are produced because of Trask's ability to use Raven or Mystique's DNA, have been able to adjust their own mutant killing powers.
Despite the splendid cast of this film, what it contains inside is more touching. The process of how to lead a way out of the bottom and realize self-redemption gives everyone seeing this movie strength and faith needed when facing with a seemingly desperate situation.
Charles. So this is what becomes of us. Eric was right. Humanity does this to us.
Not if we show them a better path.
You still believe?
Just because someone stumbles, loses their way, it doesn't mean they're lost forever.
you really should see X-Men Days of Future Past on the big screen. Isn't the part we haven't drawn upon on calling you guys to find out? The heart-pumping effects are worth it alone, and the cleverness and wit are outstanding. Maybe the best is yet to come with X-Men Apocalypse, due in 2016, but for now, the best is here.
Following is going to bring you back in this movie. You don't want to miss it.
I'm Charles.
And I'm Chloe.
Stay tuned.
Are you tired of the loneliest work? Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Hello everybody, this is Flashback. Today we're going to reproduce the lines and emotions from the movie X-Men Days of Future Past. Please enjoy.
Clip 1.
Whenever the Sentinels attack, Warpath spots them. Then I send Bishop back to warn us of the attack before it happens. Link scout the next site, and then we leave before they ever know we were there.
Because we never were.
What do you mean we're never? She projects Bishop back in time a few days to warn the others of coming attack.
So, she sends Bishop back in time?
No, just his consciousness into his younger self, his younger body.
This might just work, Charles.
What might work?
Clip 2.
The room that held him in was built during the Second World War, when there was a shortage of steel, so the foundation is pure concrete sand, no metal.
He's been held 100 floors beneath the most heavily guarded building on the planet.
Why is he in there?
What, he forgot to mention?
JFK.
He killed.
What else explains the bullet miraculously carving through the air? Eric's always had a way with the guns. Are you sure you want to carry on with this?
This is your plan, not mine.
We don't have any resources to get us in.
Or out. It's just me and Hank.
I knew a guy. Yeah, he'd be a young man now. Grew up outside the DC. He could get into it anywhere. I just don't know how the hell we're gonna find it.
Cerebra out of the question. We have a phone book.
Clip 3.
What do you guys want? I didn't do anything. I've been here all day.
Just relax, Peter. We're not cops.
Of course you're not cops, and you were, you wouldn't be driving a rental car.
How did you know what got a rental car?
I checked your registration when you walked into the door. I also had some time to kill, so I went through a rental agreement. So you were out of town. Are you FBI? No, you're not cops. What's with this gifted youngster place?
That's an old car. Whoa, he's fascinating.
He's a pain in the ass.
What, a teleporter?
No, he's just fast. When I knew him, he wasn't so young.
Young? You're just old.
So, you're not afraid to show your powers?
What powers? What are you talking about? You see something strange here? Nothing anybody would believe you told them. Sir, who are you? What do you want?
We need your help, Peter.
What?
Break into a highly secured facility and to get someone out.
Prison break? That's illegal, you know.
Only if you get caught.
So what's in for me?
You kleptomaniac, got to break into the Pentagon.
How do I know I can trust you?
Because we're just like you.
Show him.
It's cool, just disgusting.
Clip 4.
How did you lose them?
The treatment for my spine affects my DNA.
You sacrificed your powers so you could walk?
I sacrificed my powers so that I could sleep. What do you know about it?
I've lost my fair share.
Dry your eyes, Eric. It doesn't justify what you've done.
You have no idea what I've done.
I know that you took the things that mean the most to me.
Maybe you should have fought harder for them.
If you want a fight, Eric, I will give you a fight!
Sit down.
Let him come.
You abandoned me! You took her away and you abandoned me!
Angel, Azazel, Emma, Banshee, mutant brothers and sisters, all that, countless others, experimented on, butchered.
Eric!
Where were you, Charles? We're supposed to protect them. Where were you when your own people needed you? Hiding! You and Hank! Pretending to be something you are not!
Eric!
You abandoned us all!
Are you tired of the lonely's work? Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Hi everyone, welcome to today's Action English. I'm James.
And this is Trista speaking.
Have you already picked up the phrases and expressions in Jungle and Chain the last week? This time we will move on to the X-Men.
Get your notebook ready, and here comes the study time.
让我们来听听第一段原声吧。
But once you wake up, whatever you've done will take hold and become history.
But once you wake up, whatever you've done will take hold and become history. 这句话是时间遣送者要将 Logan 送回1973年时说的。但一旦你醒来，你所做的任何事都会固定下来，变成历史。我们知道 take hold of 有抓紧、握住的意思，而在这里 take hold 是指固定下来、稳定下来。让我们来造个例句，更好地理解它吧。
It's hard for him to take hold in this big city, since he has been used to living in the country.
让他在这样的大城市稳定下来很困难，因为他已经习惯了在农村生活。
接下来是第二段原声。
We have to strike now, while we still hold the upper hand.
Mike to Raven 说道 ,We have to strike now, while we still hold the upper hand. 我们必须趁还能掌握主动权的时候先发制人。相信你一定听出来了，接下来要介绍的词组 ,hold the upper hand.从字面上理解，即握着更上方的手，听起来奇怪但十分形象，就不难猜到 hold the upper hand 就是占上风、掌握主动权的意思了。James， 你来为大家造个句子，加深印象吧。
This football team is so strong. They hold the upper hand as soon as they get on the court.
这支球队真的很强，他们一上场就掌握了主动权。
还记得回到1973年后的 Logan 找到 Hank 时他们的对话吗？让我们一起来听听这段原声吧。
Who are you?
I'm Hank. Hank McCoy, I look after the house now.
You're a beast? Look at you. I guess you're a late bloomer.
Look at you. Guess you're a late bloomer. 看看你，我猜你就是那个大器晚成的人吧。
我们知道 bloom 是开花的意思。不仔细想想，还会以为 Logan 是说 Hank 是朵开晚了的花呢。让我们在基于这样的理解上想一想，人如果成功的比较晚，就叫做大器晚成的人。没错，这里的 a late bloomer 就是说大器晚成的人。
来造个句吧。村上春树 is such a late bloomer. He started his first walk at the age of 29.
村上春树真是一个大器晚成的人，他29岁时才开始写他的第一部作品。
接下来要向大家介绍的原声是一句话，它在本片中出现了两次，让人印象深刻，发人深省。
这样的提示是不是唤醒了大家的记忆呢？来听一听我们是不是如此有默契吧。
第一次出现是年老的 Professor 对1973年仍迷茫暴躁的自己相遇时，他说道
You still believe?
Just because someone stumbles, loses their way, it doesn't mean they're lost forever.
第二次是在 Hank 认为 Raven 魔女 Mystique 会杀掉科学家 Trask 是他的天性使然时 Professor 说
What are you trying to say?
What I'm saying is What if the war is inevitable? What if she's meant to kill Trask? And what if this is just simply who she is?
Just because someone stumbles loses their way doesn't mean they're lost forever
Just because someone stumbles, loses their way, it doesn't mean they are lost forever. 只是因为有些人跌跌撞撞迷失了方向，这并不意味着他们会永远迷失。
大家有没有小小的被鼓舞到呢？ Trista, 跟大家说一说你对这句话的感受吧。
嗯，好。这句话最先让我想到的是影片开头 Professor 对 Logan 说的 I was a quite different man then.我当时是个与现在很不同的人。的确，当时的 Professor 被 Raven 抛弃，失去了超能力，正处在人生最低潮的阶段。
就在这时，未来的自己出现了，来告诉正处在困难的过去，开导了引入死胡同的过去，并告诉过去的自己，千万不要因为任何困难而失去希望。如果每个人都有机会重新审视自己曾走过的路，犯过的错，或许世间就不会再有那么多的灾难与冲突。
你说的的确很对，但我们没有办法回到过去，不如现在就轻轻地告诉偶尔迷失方向的人这句话吧。Just because someone stumbles, loses their way, it doesn't mean they are lost forever.
This time's action English is quite easier than before. Let's review what we have learned from the X-Men.
Take hold, 固定下来。
Hold the upper hand, 占优势，掌握主动权。
A late bloomer, 大器晚成的人。
And just because someone stumbles, loses their way, it doesn't mean they're lost forever.
只是因为有些人跌跌撞撞迷失了方向，这并不意味着他们会永远的迷失。
I believe all of you must have picked up these useful phrases and the meaningful sentence. The next section is close up. Stay tuned. Bye.
See you next Thursday.
I see skies of blue and clouds of white.
Are you tired of a long day's work? Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Hey fellas, this is Gabriella presenting Close Up together with Cynics.
Hi there.
How is everything going after an APEC holiday?Get ready for our journey to discover the outstanding actors and filmmakers?
I guess so. So today we're going to talk about an upcoming English actor who distinguished himself in Hollywood by playing Charles Xavier in the new X-Men trilogy, James McAvoy, yo-ho!
It actually surprises me that we haven't made his special subject yet. After so many episodes of Close Up, remember the rising generation of English actors? Ben Whishaw, Benedict Cumberbatch,Eddie Redmayne, Tom Hiddleston, Tom Hardy, Andrew Garfield. He's probably the one who gained his fame earlier among those.
Yeah, born in Scotland in 1979, he was endowed with the nature of humor and optimism, and adorable Scottish accent.
Lovely! How does it sound like? Does he use his native dialects even on formal occasions?
Yeah, seems like he loves his Scottish blood dearly and takes it as a kind of honor. Here's a clip of him guesting tonight's show starring Jimmy Fallon.Let's see how he did self-mockery in a Scottish way.
No. You're into the Knicks. Why do you like the Knicks for? I love them too.
Well, I don't know. There's something glorious about them. I'm from Scotland and we generally these days aren't good at any sport. And we seem to be really good at being beaten. We're kind of never at our best than when we're kind of going, we should have won that match, but we didn't. And it feels like the Knicks are a bit like that. They're sort of...
I'm sure they'll really appreciate that, yeah. Very, very nice.
They kind of appeal to my sense of Scottish defeatism.
Yeah.
That is so cute. I didn't know he's that naughty.
Now you get it.
Okay, so what about his career?
Well, back in 2001, he played a small role in Spielberg's Band of Brothers, in which Michael Fassbender made his teleplay debut as well. So it's highly probable that they've made each other's acquaintance back then. In 2004, he won the main role in Shameless, a hit show starring Anne-Marie Duff, who later became his wife in 2006.
Well, I heard that Anne is 9 years older than James, is that true?
Yes, but their love is apparently far beyond the age gap.They had their first baby in 2010 and they're living a happy marriage.
Absolutely. This is a courageous decision to make for both of them, but time proved it right. Now back to our topic. In 2005, The Chronicles of Narnia released Mr. Tumnus, a goat-like teammate fool played by James captured audience attention. His appearances matched the role so well. The indescribable innocent blue eyes, the cute frizzle, the beautifully sculptured figure.
Hey, wake up! You're doing it again!
My apology. In the same year, the audience bestowed a BAFTA on him for the best new actor. It's kind of awkward to be honest. He was too veteran to be called as a new actor.
2007 is a rising year for James. After a long-term accumulation of acting skills and experiences, he joined Ted Atonement and Becoming Jane, both costume films, both are successful artistically and commercially. In Atonement, James' character rivals to Keira Knightley. They played a miserable couple of lovers, separated by lies and destiny.
Coincidentally, Becoming Jane is a love tragedy too. Jane Austen, played by Anne Hathaway, couldn't mix well with James' character Tom, for the wild chasm between them and the pressure of reality.
James did suit this kind of roles, tragic, idealistic, a bit of obstinate. When dressed in costume, his unique temperament of Haskell can be maximally fulfilled, but when he's out of the set and away from cameras, his Scottish nature comes back again. He's active as a rapid and talkative like a little boy when guest in the Graham Norton show. He then flirt line together with Mike and Hugh. I think it must be the cutest moment for this year, and this sort of charisma brings him lots of fans, including me.
That's charming, isn't it? No doubt he was once voted as the most beautiful man in Europe, and he got a nickname called E-May because of that.
This title is as adorable as himself.
Of course it is.
But he wasn't content with the situation. Despite the advantages his look had brought to him, it restrained his possibility as an actor as well, confining him in a minority circle. As a step out of his comfort zone, he began to try more complicated and extreme characters, such as the low-spirited comic in Wanted, the upstanding lawyer in Conspirator, etc.
Then finally the opportunity came. He became the young Professor X in the prequel of old X-Men trilogy in 2011.
James described it as daunting to be chosen to play a classic role like Professor X. Not to mention, it was once played by Sir Patrick Stewart, whose version had been deeply rooted in our hearts.
To play this role well, James pushed his envelope to explore Charles' mind. Here is the quote of his acting, according to his statement. Listen up.
Hopefully, if it comes from anything, it comes from, even though I was saying that I was taking the character in a different direction or whatever, or putting a different slant on him, the key thing that I always thought I had to retain that pours out of Patrick as Charles Xavier is empathy. And no matter what stage of his life or how different Charles is going to be as portrayed by myself, he's got to have this empathy within him that is his defining, for me it was the defining attribute and the defining characteristic, almost more important than his superpowers. His greatest power is his ability to connect, to connect and to imagine what it's like to be somebody else and therefore care for someone else and feel for other people.
It's empathy that matters most.
Exactly.
So what's the main storyline?
In First Class, James and Michael demonstrated a love and hate relationship between young Charles and Eric, a heartbreaking process of their meeting, knowing, and separating.
Wait, it sounds like a love story more than a superhero movie.
But it's actually a love story for me. Okay, let me do it again. In the new trilogy, the principal storyline is set back in time of Cold War. Young Charles and Eric must cooperate with themselves living in the future to safeguard the right of mutants as well as protecting human beings from villains. Undoubtedly, the changeable affection and stance between the four main characters is a highlight of this new series.
Sounds intriguing. What's it like to be part of a blockbuster movie on this huge scale? Did he say something interesting?
Yeah, he seemed quite confident about it. He even said that the mutants can simply beat the Avengers.
One. I mean, when the franchise started way back when, there were no other superhero team movies out there, obviously, right?
No.
Now we've got Avengers, Justice League's coming. I know you're a big old geek.
These guys ain't no good, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know, it's good that X-Men's finally coming out so that we can raise the bar again this year.
Right.
Because, you know, those guys are good, but, you know, this is where it starts. This is where it starts.
So cage match, how does it go down? X-Men enter the cage, Avengers enter the cage. How does it go down? What
it's
happens?
Like 40 of us.
And sheer like numbers.
Five of them. And one of them's like half man, half robot. You just turn off the power and he's done. And then another one's a guy with a shield who's a bit strong. I mean, come on. And then there's another, who's the other one? The guy with the bow and arrow? We've got guns and stuff. He's got claws. I could just go like, sit down, and they'd all sit down. I'd be like, have a cup of tea. They'd all be having a cup of tea. I could be like, take your clothes off. And they'd all be taking their clothes off. It would be a disaster.
Embarrassing for them, really.
Yeah, exactly.
I just love his speechy tone. By the way, James' unkempt appearance in Days of Future Past did astonish me. A destruction of his self-image, again. Seems that he's truly determined to say goodbye to the image he used to hold. But it's okay, cause he's always that sweet and open-hearted.
True. But you know what? He once said if he hadn't made his transformation, he would have been reduced to play Renfro in two big films.
His action suits his work well. In his latest movies, Trends and Fails, I can hardly recognize that the complex and bearded characters are all James McAvoy. He has improved.
Or we can say he's always improving. Alright, that's all for today's close-up. Hoping our program can help you know more about this extraordinary English actor. This is Gabriella.
And this is Cynic. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Are you tired of the loneliest work? Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Hello, I'm Caprice.
I'm Gino.
This is Charles.
And I'm Clement.
Thank you for listening to TikTok Talk. I'm so excited that I cannot wait to talk about this fabulous film. Believe me, I share the same excitement with you, and I have to admit that what I love is not just the film, but in fact the whole entire series.
Hey, hey, calm down, girls. You guys really such huge fans of this film. Well, to be honest, I've been secretly hoping that I could acquire the superpower of Magneto for quite a while.
So your name is Charles.
Yeah, right, I thought you'd be pulling for Charles Davis' Talpat's power.
Well, you will never know.
Right, today we're going to talk about the film X-Men, Days of Future Past, the latest episode of this series.
Well, allow me to make a brief introduction about the film, directed by Bryan Singer, with a stellar cast of James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, Hugh Jackman, Evan Peters, together with Jennifer Lawrence.
I would say the Catholic alone is enough to guarantee the big box office.
Yeah, I feel the same way. James McAvoy played the role of Professor X, the wise and sympathetic man who is capable of reading and changing others' minds. Michael Fassbender acted as Magneto, the most powerful mutant who can control metals indiscriminately.
And Hugh Jackman as the Wolverine Logan possesses the ability to heal under all kinds of circumstances. Jennifer Lawrence, played as Raven the Mystique, can change into anyone, into any form she wants.
Speaking of that, I'm kind of curious, among all the characters, which do you like the most?
I'd probably say Charles.
I don't suppose you mean our Charles, right?
Well, since I have a secret crush on James McAvoy, well, not so secret, I must admit that Charles is the most kind guy among all the main characters. Even though he felt the pain of both mutants and humans in his head, he managed to regain the hope for everyone. Plus, he is the key to prevent Raven from putting a bullet into, the president's head.
Well, I prefer Eric rather than Charles. To me, compared with the powerful Magneto, Professor X always seems to be too sentimental and agitated. Eric, on the contrary, calm, unflinching, and impulsive. Despite of the killing part, he dared to fight with the evil guys and strive for the rights of mutants. I mean, if I were Mystique, I would run away with Eric instead of being the little sister Raven of Charles. After all, Magneto does have his own charm.
I always thought that, Charles and Eric, because Charik would have a thing. But you don't remember the scene where in the future the old Eric was wounded after protecting others?
Yeah.
She sat in the corner near the window with his hand pressing against the wound, looking deeply into Professor X's eyes.
Wow,
all those years wasted fighting each other's Charles to have a precious few of them back.
Wow. Then Professor reached out his hand and they shake hands in a firm way. At that time, I felt that we're meant to be together.
That's true.
And not to mention the amazing bromance between James and Michael.
Do you not even know that fans are giving them names? Is it called Mike Bender?
Fassavoy?
Even Mike Fassy. It's nasty, but it's sweet.
Yeah.
Come on, Fino, that's just way illustrating their friendships after all. These two went through a thick and thin all those years. He used to be best friends and then Magneto betrayed Professor X. Disabled him and took Raven with him. Changed the little sister into a different person. It takes courage to forgive a good friend like that.
Truly. Well, spoiler alert, let's change the subject. I found the details of the film are quite attractive. For instance, the clothing style.
Well, yes, that draws my attention too. All the clothes are so 1970s and precisely designed. Both Logan and Charles wore the typical vintage leather jacket with the inside of printed shirt.
You know, do had a crush on vintages.
Yes, I do. Yeah, thank you.
Well, however, Logan dressed in white shirt, allowing his sharp face looking gentler and softer, while Charles put on the floral one, looking more yuppies and fragile, elegant and decent. On the other hand, Quicksilver got a silver jacket and grey sunglasses, which are quite modern in the 1973. Magneto costumed in, well, surrealism way.
Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm.And all the costumes, they were indicated their powers and personalities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Quicksilver and Magneto, they're never afraid of showing their powers, so that's why they like to dress differently from the others.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that I would approve of Eric's ugly purple helmet or Charles' shitless shirt.
No, obviously we all agree with you.
Yeah, so speak. But Beast and the Professor X, they don't want to be that unique, so the designer gave them low-pitched dressing styles, looking exactly the same as the trend related in the 1970s.
I just find an interesting fact that a lot of movies, especially superheroes ones, like to use the music and costumes from the 1970s.
True. In this way, the movie can not only attract teenagers, but also elders who have lived through the period of time.
Hey, speaking of the 1970s, the first word jumps into my mind is exotic.
You mean you find Eric exotic?
No. 1970s clothes, remember those? A hot dress is American Hustle?
Of course we do. Jennifer Lawrence really suits the 1970s dressing style.
Well, she is as crazy as always.
But in Days of Future Past, she was not crazy. I think she's with a bit vulnerable, a bit sneaky, but cute. And Raven has been struggling from two sides all the time.Professor X and Magneto have conflicts, but they all want the same consequence. They want to save the mutants. That's what Raven wants. So they would do it in a different way, and Raven has to choose between her brother and the one she had a childish crush on.
And what if we do one day have to choose between Professor X and Magneto? Which side would you pick?
Magneto, absolutely. Because I think...
Magneto.
He's...Simply very handsome.
but you are a man.
Yeah, yeah.
Why did you choose a man that is more handsome than you?
Well, I don't know.
Good question.
Sometimes I do like handsome guys. Not that kind of like, just I appreciate them. I appreciate them. That's it.
Okay, then what about you? Who would you choose to follow?
Oh, the Magnetos too. Oh, no.
Same reason?
No, because I'm all for the mutants.
Oh. You know what? I'd probably choose Magneto as well. But how could we know Magneto or Professor X? Why not?
Oh.
Anyway, it would be a little convincing if we are a mutant. So I just want to know, if you ever had a chance to be a mutant, what power would you willing to have?
Well, I would choose... Well, this is two. Because, you know, Because I would be delighted to have the ability to travel through time and also the invisibility.
Mm. You know, the powers.
Yeah, that's two.
This is all the rules.
Okay, then I would choose invisibility. Because when you get really angry with someone, you would just disappear and then hit them on the head.
Oh, God. That's evil.
Yeah, kind of.
Well, as for me, I'd like to have...maximum memorizing ability.
Wow.
That means I would remember everything, and it would be very convenient in the exam. Because,
wow, such a xueba.
Yeah, I want to be a xueba, but I'm not, so I want to have that sort of power.
Would that be miserable, too? Because you have to remember all those dreadful things that happened.
Everything have two sides.
Yeah.
I have to take it. Too much topics we could choose from any point of view. I gotta say that maybe in this film they're facing a lot of problems. But I believe trust is not the key point. So fear it is. People fear that mutants will be threats to their daily lives. People fear the species they know nothing about. And Trask and William are just using this kind of thoughts to carry out their plan.
Right on.
Well, as speak of the actor Peter Dinklage who played Trask.
Oh, I know that he's famous for the part of Tyrion Lannister in the HBO hottest TV series Game of Thrones. Although he's short in height, he's still a lion that roars.
And so is Peter. He lives a wonderful life together with his wife and daughter.
Okay, you know a lot about love affairs, don't you?
Sorry, just chatting. That's what we do.
Okay, guys, I just checked the time. I think our chatting time is over.
So, that's the end of the show?
Well, I guess so.
Well, then, let's call it a night. I am Fino.
I'm Capri.
I'm Charles.
And this is Clement. Next is Gramophone.
Stay tuned.
Are you tired of the loneliest work? Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Good evening, my dear old friends. This is your Music Paradise Gramophone. Welcome back. I am Fino.Today we're going to present you with the splendid soundtracks from X-Men Days of Future Past. X-Men Days of Future Past is the second prequel of the X-Men series. Let's take a look at the plot. In the future, the mutants and the humans that help them are slaughtered by powerful robots named Sentinels.Professor Xavier, Wolverine, Magneto, Storm, Shadowcat and her friends meet at a monastery in China, and Xavier explains that an invincible Sentinels was created using the DNA of Mystique that was captured in 1973 when she tried to assassinate their creator Dr. Bolivar Trask. Xavier tells that their only chance is return to 1973 using Prize ability to join Charles Xavier and Eric Lencher.However, only Wolverine can withstand the damages of the time travel. Will he succeed in stopping Mystique and the Sentinels programs and save the mutants and their human friends from annihilation? You shall see from the movie. Of music we're bringing to you is Xavier's theme, Hope, written by Joel Altman, a talented musician in America. He was famous for composing for The Usual Suspects 10 years ago. The music Hope starts with a sad tune when it appears in the film, but as the story went on, the melody gradually turned and indicated the hopeful ending. Meanwhile, the powerful drum beat created an atmosphere of bravery. This special tone fits for Xavier. Just like the rhythm, at the beginning,Xavier lost himself. He was despondent at that time and without his powers, because he took a drug which allows him to walk, but takes away his powers. After he had a glimpse at Logan's memory, he was touched and decided to pick himself up. He understood what he should do to protect his species in the crisis.Another piece of music is called Time in the Bottle, which is sung by Jim Cross. Jim Cross was born in Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. He was considered as a characteristic singer in his period. In his short life, he just made a few songs. Luckily, Time in the Bottle, one of his most famous songs, is chosen as the background music of a funny scene from the movie. With the help of Peter Maximum, who later known as Quicksilver,A mutant with superhuman speed, Xavier and Logan carried Eric out of the Pentagon successfully. When they fight with the guards, Peter used his superpower to protect them. When Quicksilver floated through time, the music was gentle and exquisite. Makers can't help but imagining what would happen if we have the ability to slow down the time. This scene was already dynamic enough, but with the help of Time in a Bottle, you just can't stop laughing out loud.As the lyric goes, there never seemed to be enough time to do the things you want to do. Once you've found them, I've looked around enough to know that you are the one I want to go through the time with. So what are you waiting for? Time does wait for you. Enjoy yourself in this thoughtful song. That is all for today's Action Frames from Radio CUC English. See you next week.
like the pine trees lining the winding road.
Cast for today. Producer:
Hua Ainong, Fino.
Anchor:
Xie Hongzhou, Clement.
Zhang Ran, Trista.
Journalist:
Chang Shiwen, Gabriella.
Lang Yiqing, Chloe.
Li Kexian, James.
Bo Yi, Cynic.
Xiong Haoyang, Sean.
Zhong Weiyang, Vion.
Tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock, City Temple is waiting for you. Come and join our trip to the Kingdom of Tulips and Windmills, Holland. Don't miss it. See you on Friday.